Hello and welcome to the first Mental Health Support Team podcast. The Mental Health Support Team support children and young people with mild to moderate mental health difficulties. I'm Leanne Borley and I'm a senior education mental health practitioner working for the Mental Health Support Team. And I'm joined by...
Hello, my name is Jordan Perrins. I'm a trainee educational mental health practitioner working for the Lichfield team. I'm currently training at the moment, so I'm splitting my time between university and clinical practice as well.
Brilliant. Thanks for that, Jordan. So we wanted to talk about the South Staffordshire Mental Health Support Team and how the team supports young people, a little bit about our own journeys, how to get support, the support we kind of might have got when we was younger, and what led us to want to get into this line of work to support young people's mental health. We hope this podcast can begin to help reduce the stigma around getting support for mental health, and thought this would be a real useful platform to have these open conversations. Hopefully it can help other young people listening to understand what mental health is a bit more, and it might answer some questions that they might have but don't know who to ask or simply don't want to ask. We will discuss further in the podcast where to get support, and that could be support one-to-one or online. So stay tuned for that. So Jordan, thank you for joining me today. Do you want to give me a brief background about yourself, your personal experiences with getting support in the past?
Yeah, sure. I'm 30 years old, currently just moved into the trainee educational mental health practitioner role. Found it quite challenging at times. I've always sort of worked with young people and been around education in separate jobs. I've had small instances of working with doing interventions, but not quite in this detail, I would say. So it's been quite a positive awakening as to how much detail mental health can actually go into, to be honest. And it's quite enlightening seeing the sort of things that we have to learn and how to manage different aspects of mental health. It just seems like a never-ending carousel of learning, to be honest with you. So yeah, I'm really interested in that regard. So in regards to sort of my previous work as well, I have worked with a charity called Football Beyond Borders. It was a great job. They used to go around to schools in the West Midlands working with at-risk young people. And what we used to do is deliver programs centered around social and emotional learning. But it also had sort of a bit of a theme on football at the same time, because we predominantly worked with a lot of young boys that were struggling in school and were at risk of exclusion or had poor home lives.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously your previous experience in kind of the work life, that made you kind of quite passionate about doing this and getting involved in this. From your personal life, okay, so it's great what we do and we love our jobs, but from your personal life, how do you think that shaped where you are now and your passion for mental health now?
I would say it definitely shaped me an awful lot, and it's definitely led me up to this point, to be honest. And I probably wasn't aware of that until maybe a few years ago. But yeah, I've gone through a series of difficulties in my own life. I mean, I can start from where I think I come home from college the one day, unknown to myself. My mum and dad were acting really weird for some reason, and then found out that the house was getting sort of repossessed. So we, you know, this is my childhood home that I've lived in all my life, and it was just sprung on me in an instant that we had to move out sort of the next day. So it was quite a bit of a difficult period. That's where a lot of it started, to be honest.
And I'm sure there's quite a few young people that might listen to this that have maybe been through similar, so they might be able to kind of understand that a little bit more as well.
Yeah, absolutely. My heart goes out to those, you know, young people that unfortunately have had to go through that and experience that, because it's definitely a really tough time. And not only does it affect your mental health as well, you can see how it affects, you know, the breakdown of your family to a certain degree as well. So there's just a lot of emotions flowing around, which, you know, for such a young age, it's hard to sort of compute at times and really take on board.
And how old was you again?
Yeah, so I was in college, so I would have been around 16 years old. Getting a little bit older there, but at the same time, I haven't really been through much hardship at that point in my life. And it was just one big thing. It was almost 0 to 100, really. Mm-hmm. And my way of dealing with that at the time was pushing it to the back burner and not really addressing it, because, you know, there wasn't a lot of information out there on how to do that.
And I think, you know, for young people where families are splitting up, breaking down, you know, the brain changes at certain ages. So it's a critical time around, you know, around the age of 12, where our thoughts go from practical worries to kind of those hypothetical ones. And if there's things that are happening in the family around that time as well, it's another added kind of difficulty and stress and pressure. So obviously you was a little bit older, but still you felt it very much the same, as in, you know, it's such a traumatic time for you. What did you do to kind of, you say you pushed it to the back burner, which, you know, we hear a lot of, don't we? I can deal with that. I'm just not going to think about it. Did you ever get any support, Jordan, kind of later on?
I did later on, but I mean, during that moment, I channeled the negativity that I was going through via things I enjoyed. So I'm absolutely crazy on football. I love just exercising, spending time with my friends, being around my nan and granddad too. So, you know, thankfully I did have a good support system around me with friends, family, and I had hobbies that I enjoyed. So it sort of kept me away from the negativity to some extent, but I wasn't addressing the problem at hand.
That's interesting you say, kind of you wasn't addressing it. So although you got kind of that support network and you got the things you enjoyed, you wasn't addressing it. How did you then later kind of address that?
I would say it was approximately around 3 years ago. I mean, I'm 30 years old now, so it's sort of a 10-year gap where I actually decided to try and address these problems. I decided to seek counselling at the time, which it was a big step, because as you probably know, Leanne, sort of young men, old men, young boys, we all tend to just get on with things, a lot of us. We like to try and pride ourselves in having that sort of that internal strength, that physical strength on the outside as well.
Where do you think that comes from, Jordan? Is this going back to kind of that stigma around getting support, and especially for kind of boys and men?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'd probably say a lot of that has come from the male figures in my life as well. Like my granddad, I'm really close to my granddad, and he's very, very old school. He's gone through his own problems, and he just gets on with things, and he's you know, his life mantra is, you know, we just have to keep going, sort of thing. Yeah. So, and although I admire that sort of that strength to do that, I think it definitely comes with drawbacks as well, which obviously I learned later on in life too. Yeah, I decided to seek some counselling support, which I went and received because my mother passed away, I'd probably say a year prior to that. And alongside my mother passing away and breakdown in my parents' relationship and breakdown in a lot of other things going on around at that time as well, I thought I do need to try something here, because whatever I'm doing now just isn't working. And I wasn't aware of mental health at all. So it was almost like a stab in the dark, and I thought, what could possibly go wrong? And it was a good leap, and I'm glad I did it, to be honest.
I think that to pick up on that, where you've said about the strength from your granddad, I think it takes so much strength to actually ask for help as well, if not more strength to ask for help. So for you to then reach out to a counsellor and think, you know, actually I'm going to get some support, is, you know, that's really admirable. So you say you had counselling. Now, obviously, the mental health support team, as you know, we do low-intensity CBT, so cognitive behaviour therapy. Do you want to explain the difference, since you've kind of had counselling and now you're training to be kind of to deliver cognitive behaviour therapy?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, from my personal experience, when I was doing some counselling work, it was more so just talking with somebody that, you know, they didn't know me, which I absolutely loved, because I do find often at times when you do speak to people that are close to you and that are around you, although it is good to do that, sometimes I like to tell you what you want to hear. So speaking to a trained professional and offloading, it really helped me. And they were able to give me some, you know, different perspectives on certain situations, which was good. But since learning CBT work, it's made me realise that there's so much more to experience and learn from and go down about yourself. It's a never ending, you know, learning curve, really, with mental health. And I think it can just, it can go on for life, and just trying to manage it as best as you possibly can for the better.
Yeah. And I think just to kind of give the listeners a little bit of kind of background. So cognitive behavior therapy, like we mentioned, is what the mental health support team deliver. So that it can help children and young people make sense of their thoughts, feelings and behaviours when they might be struggling with low mood, anxiety, worry or common kind of mental health challenges. We focus on kind of that low intensity approach as a team. So our aim is to support children and young people at the earliest opportunity. I'm thinking kind of back to yourself there, Jordan. If you'd have known what CBT is kind of when you was younger, the things that kind of we work with young people with now, so if they've got worries or anxiety, low mood, the kind of techniques that we offer to them and support them to use, how do you think that might have helped you then?
I think it would have given me more awareness as to what I was going through at the time. Although the counselling was good, I think it was quite a generalised approach, which it probably wasn't pinpointing what I was actually feeling, if that makes sense. Whereas if I was to go through CBT again, or I was to do it sort of, you know, when I was going through counselling instead, I do think I would have more awareness of why I was feeling certain feelings and what I could potentially be diagnosed with at the time, if, you know, there was a diagnosis there for me, you know, because there's an array of different things that we treat, from, you know, your low moods to anxiety, etc. So it would have been interesting to see what work somebody could have done with me.
Yeah, and I think with the cognitive behavior therapy, CBT, it explores the current issues, doesn't it? So when we're working with a young person, it's about what they're currently kind of facing, rather than, instead of focusing solely on kind of the young person's difficulties, we take the time to understand their strengths, their hopes, and we set goals with them. So like our sessions are typically, for our team, the 6 to 8 sessions, and through that we work through lots of supportive exercises to help build resilience and develop better coping skills. And I'm just wondering, if you kind of had those skills back then, do you think you'd still be using them now? And kind of from what you've learned in your training currently, what's the main things that you'd have taken out? If you could give advice to any young person listening, what would be the advice be regarding cognitive behaviour therapy?
I would say, if you just feel like in general that you are struggling, and it's quite a frequent occurrence, whether it's every day, every other day, maybe once a week, and you just feel like it's very overwhelming, this feeling that you can't really understand why. Maybe you have other things going on in your life that are contributing to these feelings, and you know, you're just not sure what's going on inside your head, but you know you don't feel right. I would definitely advise talking to somebody at the school, talking to mental health leads, and seeing what they can do in terms of, you know, putting you forward to our services, for example, where we can help. Absolutely. And I know it's a really hard thing to do for somebody to take that plunge and actually speak up, but by doing that, you are looking after yourself, not only now, but in the long run.
I completely agree. And it's very similar, isn't it? You know, if you're a sporty person, aren't you, Jordan? If you had a pain in your leg and you thought, I need to go to the GP, you wouldn't hesitate to book a GP appointment to kind of check on your physical health. And I think, you know, the stigma around mental health, we need to focus on reducing that. But if we are having, exactly like you say, these thoughts that we don't really know what to do with, and these worries, it's perfectly okay to seek support, like you would, you know, for your leg at a GP. And the more young people realise that it's okay to get support, I think the easier a lot of these things is treatable so much earlier on. Okay, so thank you so much, Jordan. We mentioned earlier on that we were going to say where young people can get support. So if you are a young person in a Staffordshire school that the mental health support team support, then you can approach your own school's mental health lead. There is also a website called Mindler, who can offer online support to any young person living in Staffordshire. And the website is sandbox.mindler.co.uk. Another useful support site is youngminds.org.uk. And that's for any person. You don't need to live in Staffordshire to access that one. We are also on Facebook. We're at South Staffordshire Mental Health Support Team in Schools, and also Instagram, and that's South Staffs MHST. We do have more podcasts planned covering different topics such as how to deal with worries, anxiety, low mood. We've got some interviews coming up with young people themselves who have received support through the Mental Health Support Team. So I'm hoping that this will be an ongoing thing and we can help as many young people who want to listen to these podcasts as we can. It's been lovely to chat with you, Jordan, and thank you for sharing your own story. I hope, like we've said, it's going to help as many young people realise that it's perfectly normal to seek support for their own mental health.
No, thank you, Liam, for having me. I really appreciate the time today, and it's been great to speak up. I do hope there's young people out there that are willing to speak up if they are feeling low, or like I mentioned before, they are experiencing feelings where they're just, they don't know what's going on. Just speak up. And I know that is a broad term that's always used, but that's literally all you need to do is speak up, and then there's lots of support in place for you. So it's just about taking that first step.
That's brilliant. I think that's a perfect ending as well, Jordan. Thank you so much.